that our brother has led us in, and I hope that they have strengthened you to get into God's Word and know that you can live the way the Lord has called you to live. This morning, I want to talk to you about the subject that God spoke to me. In fact, a few years ago, there was a man I knew pretty well who came to me and said that God spoke to him and revealed that he was actually Michael the Archangel, and that God had put him on the planet at this time to prepare the world for the coming of the Battle of Armageddon. And after telling me all of that, he offered me $100,000 a year to be his spiritual advisor. Now, I did not immediately go out and buy a Rolls Royce, because I had my concerns about whether or not God had actually spoken to him. But that event and many others have led me to the question, how would we know if God was speaking to us or not? In fact, it is not uncommon at all for people to say that God speaks to them separate from the Word of God or separate from the Bible. A few years ago, you may remember Harold Camping made national news by saying that God had spoken to him and revealed that Jesus was going to return on May 21st, 2011. And people all over the country quit their jobs and they began to wait. And Mr. Camping had to admit that he heard God wrong. Recently, one of the preachers for the largest church of Christ in this area said that God told him to preach on a certain topic. And he told God no, that he didn't want to preach on that particular topic. And after a protracted dialogue with God, the preacher said that he finally listened to the voice of God and he got up in front of the audience and he told the audience that he didn't want to preach on this, but God told him to. You know, some of the biggest names in Christian broadcasting and Christian publishing in this country make similar claims that they hear the voice of God, and this voice tells them to do certain ministries and to teach certain things that may or may not be found in Scripture. But it's not just leaders that claim that God spoke to them. A lot of churches also claim that God speaks to them separately from the Bible. For example, the Mormon Church believes that God spoke to Joseph Smith and to other church leaders, and he gave them new revelation that's not found in the Bible. The same is true for Jehovah's Witnesses and many Pentecostal churches. In fact, the largest Christian denomination in Asia was started by a man who believed that God spoke to him and gave him new revelation and that he was God's last prophet on earth. The Catholic Church also believes that God has communicated to them separately from the Bible. They believe that God speaks today through the tradition of the church and through the decrees of the councils and popes. And all of that, the decrees and the tradition and the Bible, are held as authoritative communications from God. And all of that really adds up to the fact that a lot of people in this world believe that God is speaking to us today separately from the Bible. And one thing that's puzzling about that is if God is speaking to a lot of leaders and to a lot of churches, it's interesting that people teach such different things from one another. And that a lot of the things that people teach and practice as a result of what God communicated from them or to them is not only different from each other, but contradictory from each other and contradictory to what is found in the Bible. So here's the question. What are we to make of these claims that God spoke to me? Because I think most often we hear this claim coming from our friends and our neighbors that God spoke to me. I have personally heard people give this as the reason why they do the job that they do, or they live where they live, or they've chosen the ministry they've chosen, or they do the hobby that they like. And sometimes I think that people, when they say this phrase, God spoke to me, they literally mean that God audibly talked to them, and they heard God in the English language. But for a lot of people, when they say God spoke to me, they mean that they had a feeling or an intuition or they had a thought that they then attributed to God. As one person put it, hearing God's voice in your heart often sounds like the flow of spontaneous thoughts. And you can buy books and you can go to seminars today where people will teach you how to create the right environment and how to go through the right methods so that you can hear the voice of God anytime you wish. And of course, it's still interesting that if God is speaking to so many different people, it's interesting that we all do and believe such different things and such contradictory things. But what's also interesting to me about this is that in the Scripture, God never revealed His will through feelings or intuitions. In fact, the Scripture doesn't teach us how to create the right environment or have the right method so that we can hear the voice of God in our inner heart. The prophets, in fact, when they proclaimed a word that God spoke to them, they did it boldly. They said, "This is what the Lord of hosts says," and it was powerful and authoritative. They didn't say, "I just feel that God wants us to do this or that." And yet we have to admit that God certainly miraculously spoke to people throughout biblical history, didn't He? God audibly spoke to Abraham and Elijah and Jeremiah and Paul and many others. And so I think it's legitimate for people to ask the question, hey, if we go by the Bible, and in the Bible God clearly spoke to people, why wouldn't God do that for me? Why wouldn't He speak to you? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Because in Hebrews chapter 1, I think we have something here revealed about how God speaks to us today. And by the way, I think you also find part of this answer in a lesson that we looked at last week on the subject of miracles. And if you didn't hear that last week, I'd encourage you to get online or to get a CD and look at that study on miracles. But in Hebrews chapter 1, we learn something here about how God speaks to us today. And what we learn here is that, beginning there in verse 1, the Hebrew writer says that in times past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. The Hebrew writer is saying the way that God speaks to us today has changed. In times past, He spoke to many different people at many different times. But today, God has one spokesman. So that raises the question, how does Jesus speak to us today? Because when Jesus ascended into heaven, He didn't leave one scroll behind that He wrote on. He didn't leave one book or one letter. So how does Jesus speak to us today? If God speaks in a different way today, and that's through Jesus, well then how does Jesus speak? Well, Jesus, before He left, told us how He was going to talk or communicate to people today. And that's found in John chapter 14. So if you look at John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus said to His apostles, how he would speak today. So John 14, verse 26. He says that I must leave and I must go to the Father. But when I do so, verse 26, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. And then he went down into chapter 16 the same night. If you look down to chapter 16 and verse 13. Again, he says, I must leave, but when I do, he, that is the Spirit of truth, comes, and he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak of his own authority, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And so Jesus made this promise to his apostles that they would be taught all things, that they would be reminded of everything that Jesus taught, that they would be guided into all truth, and that they would know the future perfectly. Now, obviously, Jesus made these promises to his apostles, not to us, because none of us know all the truth. None of us are able to predict the future perfectly. But Jesus promised his apostles that they would. They were the ones charged with recording the words of Jesus. And that's why later, when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, and he prayed for us, he said this in John 17 and verse 20, I pray for those who will believe in me through their, that is, through the apostles' words. How were we going to come to listen to Jesus, to know Jesus? He said it was going to be through the words of the apostles. And so what we have in the New Testament is we have God speaking to us through His Son as it was recorded by His apostles. And that's what the New Testament teaches. And as a result, Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 that what we have in our New Testaments is nothing less than the mind of Christ. Do you want to know what the mind of Christ is about any subject, about any circumstance in your life? Jesus has spoken it in His Word. Now, at this point, a lot of people will say, yes, you're right. That's what the Bible teaches, and it is nice that we have the Bible. But times change. And I need some more specifics. And so why wouldn't God speak to me directly and give me specifics for my life and for these times? And that's a great question. And what the question is really about is this. Is the Bible itself sufficient? Is it enough? Is it adequate for all that we need to know? And that's a great question. What does the Bible say about that? Well, look, for example, in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, we find the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. And he is reminding them what he did when he was there in Ephesus. And he says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20 that he kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. He goes on to say in verses 26 and 7, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So notice that Paul says that he held nothing back that was helpful, and that what he declared to them was the whole counsel of God. Well, was that enough? Is what Paul taught the church enough? Look down to verse 32 and notice his application at the end. He says, now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. the word that Paul gave them was able. It was able to help them live a life that God wanted them to live and to make their eternal destiny secure. Paul believed that the word he gave the Ephesian church was enough for them. But you know, it wasn't only Paul who believed that. The apostle Peter also believed that God's word was sufficient for all that we needed. He begins his second letter with these words. He says, God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Notice he did not say that God gave us some things with more things to follow. He says all things that we need for life and godliness has been revealed to us. And that's why Jude could write in such bold words in Jude verse 3, that we are to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. It doesn't say that it was partly delivered with more to come. It says that it was all delivered one time for all time. And that makes it completely adequate to meet our needs. This meant so much to the Apostle Paul that even at the very end of his life, he wanted to make the point again that what we have in the Scripture is all we need from God. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You notice how much he emphasizes the sufficiency of Scripture there? The Scripture makes us complete. It not only equips us, it thoroughly equips us. But not only does it thoroughly equip us, it makes us thoroughly equipped for every good work that God wants us to do. Now, what that means is that there is not a tradition of man, nor is there a feeling in my heart that could rival and reveal any more truth about God and what He wants me to be and what He wants me to believe than what is already revealed in the New Testament. The New Testament is completely sufficient. It is His word, not just for one culture and one historical condition, but it is His word for all mankind of all time. And I think that one thing we need to think about when we say, well, God spoke to me, is we need to think about the implication of that. Because when we say, well, God spoke to me, what we're basically implying is we needed something more than God gave us in His Word. And when we say that, what we're basically saying is that God has not been good enough to reveal in His Word everything that we needed. He didn't care enough to tell us everything we needed to know. So He had to talk to me outside of that. Or what we're saying is that God wasn't able, He wasn't capable of communicating to us in a way that would be totally relevant for all time. And either of those are places where we do not want to get, that God's not good enough or God's not able enough. The simple fact is that the reason we do not see God miraculously, undeniably speaking to people today is because His method of speaking has changed. He speaks today through His Son, as recorded by the apostles. And what they recorded was all that we need to know. And that's why no further communication was promised, because no further communication was required. And yet, We're constantly going to interact and meet with people who say that God spoke to them. So what are you going to do in those situations when people say, well, God spoke to me? Let me offer, I hope, some practical advice that you can share with people in those situations. First of all, if someone were to ask, say to me, God spoke to me, one of the first things I would ask them is, how do you know that it was God who was speaking to you? And typically what they say is things like, well, I just feel that it was God. Or I just know it. Or I heard Him. But the problem with this reply is that it is totally subjective. There is no way to verify whether it was God speaking or not, or whether the message was true or not. And as a result, what ends up happening is people put their life and their trust into things that could actually damage them, or maybe even destroy their soul. One thing we have to recognize is that it is not only God who is at work in this world, Satan is as well. And the Bible says that Satan can appear as an angel of light. In fact, when we get interested into listening to the ambiguous and mystical messages and trying to discern whether they're from God or not, that is ripe area for Satan to deceive us in this life. In fact, he very often can work in those feelings and those intuitions and those voices we think we hear in order to deceive our hearts. But the Bible says that it is not within man to direct his own steps. That when we try to follow our own feelings and ways, we end up going the way of death. The only trustworthy source of God's truth that we have is the guidance that He has provided in the Bible. That word from God has been verified through the years over and over. In fact, one of the things I usually think about with regard to this topic when somebody says, God spoke to me, is this. Number one, if what God said to you is different than what is revealed in the Scriptures, then it must be wrong. But number two, if what you say God spoke to you is in line with what we find in Scripture, then why did you need it? The fact is if Scripture is fully sufficient, then it is the objective standard that allows us to understand what is from God and what is not from God. But the second question I would say to somebody who told me that God spoke to them is, do you elevate that experience over what God has given us in the Scriptures? Because what I find often happens when people say to me, well, God spoke to me and He told me to do this or to believe that, is that at times what God spoke to them is actually in violation with what the Bible says they are to believe or do. And when you point that out, somebody will then respond, well, all I know is that God told me to do this. All I know is that God told me to believe this. And what they're basically doing is they are elevating the experience of man above the Word of God. And again, this is something that churches do quite often. They get together and they say, well, we just believe that God is leading us in a new direction today. God is leading us into a direction to accept certain lifestyles as pleasing to Him, or to accept women as preachers publicly, or that certain people ought to remain celibate, or that we ought to call religious leaders by certain titles. All of those things are things that churches say that God has told them that are actually not found in the Bible. And what they've done is they have elevated tradition and they have elevated decrees above what God has revealed to them in the Bible. And what ends up happening is that they make the Bible meaningless and they make God seem inconsistent when neither of those things is true. In fact, I think it's interesting that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, when the Apostle Paul talks about a person who says that he is speaking from God, a prophet who says he's speaking from God, Paul says if that person who says that they're speaking from God says something that contradicts what the apostles have revealed to you, let that person be rejected. He would say the same thing to the churches in Galatia. He would say in chapter 1 of Galatians that if we or even an angel from heaven speaks to you any other thing than that which you have received, let him be accursed. In other words, if a person, anybody, or even if it's an apostle, or even if it is an angel from heaven, contradicts what has been revealed through by God, through Jesus, through his apostles, if it contradicts that, that person is to be accursed. That means separated from God, pointed out as being in error. You see, one of the reasons that God has given us the Bible is so that we all can be unified in what we believe and in how we act. And if we will submit our experiences and our feelings and our desires to God's revealed word, we can enjoy that unity. But without that common value, what results is nothing but confusion. And that's what we see when people say, God spoke to me apart from the Bible. Is we see that it brings nothing but division and confusion everywhere. So that's the second thing I'd ask, is do you elevate what you believe God said to you above Scripture? But I'd also ask people, did you know that it is very rare that God spoke directly to people throughout human history? As much as you hear that phrase today, well, God spoke to me, you would get the impression that God speaks to everybody, every day, everywhere, and that somehow you're in the outs if God's not speaking to you. And yet when you look at biblical history and the thousands of years that it deals with, you find basically that God spoke to just very few people individually. That it, in fact, was not the normative experience for God to speak to individual people throughout history. And so when somebody comes to you and says, well, God speaks to me, and you get to wondering, well, what's wrong with you because God hasn't spoken to you today, please know that you are not a second-class Christian. Please know that God has spoken to you as clearly and as lovingly today as He speaks to everybody in His revealed Word. But one thing I would also warn us about with regard to the subject is we need to be careful about wanting the sign over what is certain. On one occasion, Jesus was confronted by a group of Pharisees and Sadducees who came to him and said, show us a sign. Do some miraculous thing. The words of Jesus, the Son of God, just wasn't enough for them. They wanted more. They wanted to see more. They wanted more than just His words. And as you think about that today, think about the idea that we know more about Jesus today than anybody who lived in Jesus' time. We have the four Gospels that tell us about Him. We have the fullness of New Testament revelation that teaches us His ways. And if we turn away from what God has spoken to us in His Word and say, well, that's good, but I need more. I need a sign. I need to hear something. to know what God wants me to do. We're putting ourselves in a dangerous situation where we are demanding a sign when God has already spoken clearly. Now, before we end, I want to try to get real practical. Because I believe that some people believe that they hear a word from God because they really do want to know what God thinks about a certain circumstance in their life or situation. And they want to know God's will so much with regard to that situation that they interpret their feelings and their intuitions as being something that God is directly saying to them and attribute that to God. And so that leads to, I think, an important question, and that is, how do you discover God's will about specific situations in your life? I mean, should you buy that house? Should you take that new job? Should you date that girl? Should you date that guy? Should you move to that town? I mean, where do you go in the Bible for a book, chapter, and verse for that kind of stuff? Well, here is something I believe is a good biblical approach for finding out God's will for the specific situations in your life. And it begins with prayer. Pray to God for wisdom. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 5 that when we are in a time of trial, we can pray to God and ask Him for wisdom. Now, God promises to give us wisdom. He doesn't promise to give us new knowledge, nor does He promise to speak to us directly. But He does promise that He is going to give us wisdom. That ability to take the knowledge that God has revealed to us and to know how we ought to apply it in the circumstances of our lives. So that's where you begin. You begin with God and ask Him for wisdom. But then, after you pray, start thinking. Think about your circumstance and think about the character issues that have to do with that circumstance. How should I reflect the fruit of the Spirit in this situation? And then begin to think about the kingdom values that relate to this circumstance. If I am seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first in my life, how does God's kingdom be seen as a priority in this circumstance, in this relationship, in this decision? Am I displaying the character of Christ and am I valuing kingdom principles? And so perhaps, for example, let's go to the next one before we go on that. So pray, then think. Think about what biblical principles are involved in your situation. And then go find biblical passages that relate to them. So your situation may deal with a moral issue, like telling the truth. You're in a situation at work where if you are honest and you tell the truth, you're going to get in trouble. What's God's will for you? Go study what the Bible has to say about lying and about how God values truth. Maybe your situation has to deal with a relationship where it is fractured and you don't have a good attitude about it. Well, then go study what the Bible has to say about love, what it has to say about forgiveness, about mercy and grace. And go read all that you can find on the certain characteristics and values that have to do with the decision you have to make. And then let me suggest that you memorize some scriptures or some principles from scripture that relate to your situation. Because it is easy in the heat of a moment to forget what we ought to do. To forget that Jesus is our Lord, why the church is important to us, why righteousness is essential. And so go memorize a scripture that will help you remember what God wants you to do in those circumstances. So, what does the Bible say about the dangers of alcohol? What does the Bible say about the sin of fornication? What does the Bible say about that negative, complaining tongue that you struggle with? Go read the scriptures on those things. Memorize some passages. Memorize some principles. And then, armed with the right attitude and the right values, then go out and courageously live for God's glory. Go ahead and do what God told you to do. And in so doing, you will give glory to God because you'll actually be following His word and His ways. Yes, I believe this is the way that the Scripture has revealed to us about how to deal with the questions that we have. Whether it's collectively as a church, whether it's individually as Christians, we can know God's will for our life if we follow the way that the Bible teaches us. Knowing God's will doesn't have to be a mystery. It has been revealed for us in His will. I wanted to end by taking you back to a town that the Apostle Paul went to in the book of Acts. In Acts 17, he went to a town called Berea. And there in Berea, he preached the gospel. And the Bible says that the people of Berea, they received the word with all readiness of heart. They were excited to listen to what the apostles were teaching them. But they didn't sit and wait for an inner feeling to confirm whether that message was true. They didn't wait for a word from God to tell them whether this was something that they ought to do. What they did is they heard the message of the apostles, and then, the text says, they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things spoken by Paul were true, were so. In other words, God had given them in His word something that was totally sufficient for helping them know when God had spoken to them and when He had not. And I believe that same thing is still true for us today. We don't have to be in the dark about how to live a life for God. He's revealed it to us. And most thankfully, He has revealed to us how we can be saved. We don't have to wonder, do I have the right feeling in my heart? I remember one lady saying that she knew she was saved because she had a warm, fuzzy feeling. Another lady said that she knew she was in the right church because it just felt right. Well, those kind of things can be so subjective and really at the end of the day, so devoid of certainty and hope. Because how do I know what is fuzzy and feels right to me is true? When it comes to the important things in life, like how to be saved, we don't have to be fuzzy. God has clearly revealed it. He has said that if we put our faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and trust in it to be the sacrifice for our sins, that if we are willing to repent of our life lived for self and the world and make Jesus Christ our Lord, and if we are willing to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, then the Bible promises, God promises us, you're saved. And there's confidence in that. There's joy in that. We don't have to guess. God has spoken. And it is upon that word we can rely. And I hope every area of our lives we can say that. The way I'm acting in my marriage, the way I act at work, the way that I act in my neighborhood, the values that I have, they all demonstrate that I am standing upon God's solid revealed word. If you're here tonight or this morning and you need to respond to the gospel and find that salvation that's in Christ, we would rejoice if you would hear the word of God and respond. If you need to do that this morning, why don't you come as we stand and sing together?